You are listening to Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.
Good morning. God is good all the time. A wonderful morning this morning already. I'm excited to be with you. We are in a series called Taking Territory. This is a season. Man, it got bright in here. Wow, we like cranked the lights on. This is a season where we believe and we know that God is actually wanting us to step into some new areas of territory in our lives personally, individually, and also as a church. And so I want to talk to you about that this morning as we conclude the series. During the Lent season, we're actually doing two sermon series, and so this is the first one, and then we're going to go on the second one, but I think you'll see how they're connected. Before I go into this morning, I just want to highlight two things with you to make sure that you're aware of what's going on and are plugged into it. The first is, of course, this is the season of Lent, which is the 40-day period before Resurrection Sunday that the church historically prepares itself to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus together. And that began a week and a half ago on Ash Wednesday. And I just want to invite you to be a part of that. Many of you are reading along with us the devotional Uncovering the Love of Jesus. If you're doing that, please continue to do that. Just a reminder that we are in week 3, day 1, starting tomorrow. So if you're having a tough time figuring out where you're supposed to be, week 3, day 1, beginning tomorrow on that devotional. And if you're not a part of that, if you don't have the book, if you're going, what in the world are you talking about, Pastor Andrew? I just want to encourage you, during this season, make room for the Lord. And the way that you make room for the Lord is you remove some things from your life and use those moments to actually pursue him and draw him and invite him in to your heart, into your life. And so traditionally it's a time of fasting, of restricting yourself. Maybe you're not eating certain foods or not eating meals and you're seeking the Lord during those times. Some people are doing social media fasts. I'm personally just fasting from my in-laws and, it just seems like the right thing to do. Just, there's lots of things that you can fast. Probably that's not the wise one, but essentially you're making room for the Lord, and take time to do that during the season. If you're looking for something to read, you don't have something to read, and you don't have the devotional, I want to point you to the study devotional that we have on the YouVersion app or the Bible app. If you go to the Church Center app, which is our church app, and you go down to the bottom right-hand corner of the More tab, if you go in there, it'll say My Church on YouVersion. And if you just simply plug in there, it'll give you a reading plan that you can plug into during the season and be a part of. Okay, you with me? 40 days of prayer. Let's seek the Lord. It's always a time of more prayer. So we have 3 prayer meetings this week that you're invited to. You can come to one of them. You can come to all of them if you want. But I do want to encourage you, come to one of them and seek the Lord. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe that's something new for you. Maybe it'll be a stretch. It'll be good. Thursday evening, across the street in the Learning Center at 6:30 p.m., we've got a new weekly prayer meeting everyone's invited to. Friday morning, as we have done for the last year plus, at 6:30 a.m. in the morning for you early risers. And then this week in particular, because it's the first of the month, there'll be a special women's prayer meeting for an hour at 6:30 p.m. also across the street. So please be a part of that. Secondly, how many of you noticed the big traffic signs with the dates on it driving in on Hanford Armour Road that said road closures coming up? Anybody notice those things? All right, so if you didn't, then the Lord shielded your eyes, and praise God, that's wonderful. But we do have some construction that's coming that we're anticipating in the coming weeks. It's good news because the good news is that they're going to develop the property across the street from the church and bring in a new neighborhood, which means new families and new territory in that sense. The challenging news is that means development on Hanford Armour Road. They have to bring in the sewer line down from where the apartment complex is, Casa del Sol, bring it all the way down to the end of our property, essentially. That sewer line's a big sewer line. It's a big development, which means that it's going to impact traffic a little bit. My latest information is that they're not going to close the road entirely very often, if at all, but they're going to take it down to one lane of traffic at times, if not most of the time during the development period. So that's going to mean slowdowns and delays. And in order, I want to keep you updated on when that is happening, right? They put the dates up. We don't really know exactly when they're going to break ground, exactly how that's going to be impacted. But we're trying to work with the developer and the city to have all the information. So if I don't want you, here's the gist of it. I don't want you to lose your salvation on the way to church because you hit traffic on the way in, okay? So I want to keep you updated on what's going on, and if you want to be updated, which I think you do, then that means you want to plug into our weekly email newsletter. That's how I'm going to be pushing the information out. Every Friday, about 5 o'clock, a weekly email goes out, tells you about the weekend, tells you all the information that you need to know, and I'm going to be letting you know the need-to-know info about traffic through that email. The way that you plug into that, the way that you sign up for that, I think information is on the screen here, but you can go to the website, kchamford.com/subscribe, and put your email in there, or you can go to the Church Center app. The Church Center app, if you don't have it, you can't get to heaven, so you need to have it. And the same way that I just said just a moment ago, you go down to the More button at the bottom right-hand corner, and the very first item says sign up for the weekly e-newsletter or newsletter. So make sure that you do that. That way you'll get the information and you'll know what's going on. We're praying that the development will go quickly and that they won't run into problems. We're not praying against the developer. We're not praying against the development. That's all good stuff. The city's growing. We love that. But we just don't love that it's happening during Easter. So we're just praying that it just, you know, that it move quickly. So agree with me on that, that it'll all flow smoothly and we'll be able to get in as quickly as possible to our campus once again with two lanes of traffic. All right. Would you say taking territory? Taking territory. We're talking about a season that we are in, and it's a season that I believe that the Lord is speaking specifically to us as a church and to you as an individual, that God is once again stirring in our hearts the reminder that He has more territory for you to take, that He has actually inheritance for you to live in. If you're a follower of Christ, you need to know that God has some things for you that He wants to give you, He wants you to live in, He wants to expand your territory, He wants you to overcome things in your life, He wants you to be a blessing to those around you, He wants you to experience peace in your home, He wants you to experience strength in your relationships, He wants you to live in the fullness of life. But in order to receive the territory that God has for you, it requires something from us. Any pastor loves to preach the message of God's goodness and His grace and His love. And I love to preach that all day long. But on the other side of God's greatness and His goodness and His love, there is also a responsibility that we have to actually accept it and to walk in it. It is a two-part thing. It's we're taking the hand of the Lord. He does most of the work, but we have to be obedient and actually follow Him. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The last couple of weeks in the series, we've been talking about being a house of prayer. And one of the key components to taking territory is to learn how to battle and to war in the spiritual realm. Just a few moments ago, Lisa was up here. She talked about taking some territory spiritually over a piece of property. I want to tell you, you can do that in your home. You can do that over your kids. You can do that in your life. There is, in fact, power that is in you, not because it's in you, but because the Lord has placed His Spirit inside of you. And as we reach out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we begin to draw heaven down into this place, He actually moves and changes things in our lives. He has the power to break addiction and bondage and spiritual strongholds. And the way that that happens is through actually opening our mouths and engaging heaven. Many times we'll sit and we'll complain, we'll moan and we'll groan, we'll talk about how bad things are. We'll even talk, if we're married, maybe with our spouse about how the kids are misbehaving. We'll forget that what we have to do is we have to engage heaven. Moaning and groaning and complaining won't actually change things. But when you begin to engage heaven and say, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done in this place as it is in heaven, then something begins to change. Something shifts. There's actually a pushing back, spiritually speaking, that pushes back the gates of hell. It pushes back the powers of the enemy. It pushes back oppression. It pushes back anxiety. It pushes back all of those things that sometimes weigh heavily on our chest. You know the experience, sometimes you wake up at night and you just, oh, I just can't even breathe because there's so much weighing on you. But when we begin to call out to heaven and say, God, would you now come and would you move and would you begin to push back darkness and would you break the power of the enemy, you're engaging with the most powerful person in the universe who has decided already he wants to help you. He's decided already he's on your side. And as you begin to pick up that tool, that weapon of warfare, prayer, then territory begins to expand. You begin to take it. Last week, Pastor Candace talked about how we can begin to engage the Lord in praying for a city and praying against the gates of hell. She did an incredible job. Have you noticed she's a level 10 communicator? Every time I listen to her preach, I go, man, I got some things to learn. She's just an incredible pastor. And so I just want to encourage that, or continue rather, that series this morning and talk to you about this idea of territory. I'm going to look with you at Joshua chapter 1, beginning of verse 2. I read this 2 weeks ago. I want to do it with you again. And you can follow along if you want in the notes. They're in the Church Center app there, all the notes, all the fill-ins, all of that, or else just pull out your Bible and pull out a piece of paper and write down some things because you're going to be encouraged this morning. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2 says this, Moses, and this is God speaking to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. That Moses being dead speaks of the old season, and as wonderful as it was that God was faithful to Moses, he was faithful to the people of Israel. Now that season is over, and there's a new season that's coming. And I want you to know this morning, I even declare to you this morning, that there's a new season that is here. There's a new season that is ahead of us. And don't get stuck looking to the past. Don't get stuck repeating the mistakes of the past or looking backwards to think that's where the answers are or trying to repeat what happened that was good yesterday. I want to tell you the best days are not behind us, they're in front of us because God is a God of new. And he is actually changing, I think, the season for us. And he's inviting us to see the new thing that he's doing. So he tells Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. They're there on the other side of the Jordan. And across that river, they can see a territory that God had said, that is your inheritance. That's the territory that I've actually set aside for you. Now, the thing about the territory is that even though God had that territory designated and set aside for them, it was their territory, they actually had to cross the Jordan and they had to take the territory. They had to actually begin to battle those people that were in the territory in order for them to claim the inheritance that was already theirs. Verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot. Would you say every place? Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you. Say no one. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. I want you to know this morning, God has a territory for you to take. God has an inheritance for you to live in. God has something more for your life than what you have experienced thus far. Maybe things are going great, or maybe you're wondering what in the world happened. I just got knocked down on my butt. I want you to know this morning, God has more for you in your life. He has more for you in your relationships, more for you in your marriage, more for you with your kids, more for you at work. He has expansion. He has blessing. He has goodness. He has joy. He has good things in store for you. That is part of the territory that is ahead of you that he says, hey, it's across the Jordan, but you're going to have to go into it. You're going to have to fight for it, and you're going to have to take it. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is I simply want to define for you what that inheritance looks like in just three quick ideas. And then I want to talk to you about what is required of us if we are going to engage and embrace that territory to the fullness that he has for us. So let me talk to you about what this territory is, what your inheritance consists of. If you're taking notes, number one, you would simply write this down, freedom. Would you say freedom out loud?
Freedom.
Freedom. Part of the inheritance, part of the territory that God has for you is freedom in your life. freedom from addiction, freedom from the chains of the past, freedom from generational curses and generational tendencies. All of us have inherited certain things, some good things, some not so good things. I don't know if you about you, but I'm of the age now where I find myself more and more sounding like my parents. And I find myself saying things that I told myself as a teenager I will never say, and doing things that I told myself I will never do, because that's what my parents say and that's what my parents do. And I'm discovering, oh my gosh, I'm my parents. Because there's a generational thing that passes down to you that even though you don't want it, it tends to be imprinted upon you. And what I want to tell you today is that some of that's good, but there's a lot that's not so good. And part of the freedom that God has for you is to come out of generational tendencies, generational sin, generational patterns that is actually not from the Lord. It's not part of your inheritance. And he has something new for you. And so freedom that Jesus promises us is actually stepping into something new. Look at this in Luke chapter 4. This is the story when Jesus actually goes to Nazareth right at the beginning of his ministry. This is in the days right following when he was 40 days in the desert and he encountered the enemy and he battled with the enemy. And then it says that he went out in the power of the Spirit. The very first thing that he did is he went back to his hometown of Nazareth. This is where we pick up the story. It says, when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. This is something that they would do every week. Every Saturday, they'd get together in the synagogue and they would read from the scriptures. They'd read from the scrolls, right? Because there's not a book at that point. All the books that we know of as books are on individual scrolls. And there were parts of each scroll that were designated to be read on every Saturday, right? Each of the 52 Saturdays of the year, they would read a certain scroll, a certain place in the scroll. Verse 17, the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. Now, this is fascinating because Isaiah, the prophet, wrote and prophesied 500 years before. And it just so happened, of course, it didn't just so happen. It was not by any accident that as Jesus is beginning his public ministry, this is the day that he's supposed to read this particular passage from Isaiah, because this passage from Isaiah is a prophecy that Jesus Christ is fulfilling in the reading and the hearing of those who heard him that day. This is what it says, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant, and he sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. You can almost see the picture there. Everybody is just hushed and looking at Jesus. What is he going to say about what he just read? Verse 21, then he began to speak to them, and this is what he says, the scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. The whole purpose that Jesus came to the earth is to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free. Jesus' purpose when he came to the earth was to bring freedom to every man and every woman and every child. Freedom for those who are in chains. Freedom from those who have been restricted from coming into the kingdom of God. Freedom from those who are far away from him. Those who are slaves to sin, he says, now, today there's a day of freedom. Today there's a day of open heaven. Today is a day of invitation. He says, listen, the past might have been whatever you have done and whatever your parents have done and all those things that you inherited. I declare to you today there's something new that has been done, that what I have done is I have come to set you free. When it talks about the poor, right, you think of what is it that is restrictive to the poor? Well, the poor don't have resources to get into those special privileges and places that it seems that the wealthy do, right? The poor are limited because they don't have resources. And Jesus says, today, there's no longer any limitation. I'm taking it off of you. There's no longer any restriction. You're not counted out anymore. You're actually a privileged one. You get the same access to heaven as everybody else has access. And today, the day of invitation is for all of us, just as it was 2,000 years ago. It is today that our inheritance is an inheritance inheritance of freedom. We don't have to live in chains of separation from God anymore. Now we have full access to the throne room of heaven. We have full access to his Holy Spirit. We have full access to everything that we need. In John chapter 8, Jesus says this, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed." Now, I want to point out to you that the freedom that he's talking about is the freedom to do the things that you should do, not just to do the things that you want to do. Right? We're all Americans, I think, in here, and most of us understand that Americans really like their freedom. I'm from America, right? We're in the land of the free, the home of the brave. You know? We're into our freedom. And I think many times we translate freedom as the ability to do whatever we want to do. Don't you tell me that I can't do that. I'm American, right? Don't you dare tell me. Well, I want to tell you that what Jesus is talking about is not the American version of freedom. What he's talking about is the kind of freedom that you can then step into the things that are the best for you and for those that are around you. Paul says it this way in Galatians 5:13. I don't think I have it on the screen, but you won't need it. He simply says this, "Don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." See, when Jesus comes and brings us freedom, then now there is a calling for us to walk in a new way. We don't any longer have to be in chains of slavery and sin, but now there's a new day that is declared. Our sins are forgiven. His blood has cleansed us and made us clean and right with God, and now we get to live differently, and we get to actually exhibit that very thing that God has placed inside of us, the love that he has given to us. That's the first part of our inheritance, is freedom. The second part, and you can write this down, is place. Would you say place? Place. Now, this is what Deuteronomy chapter 6 says. When God, your God, ushers you into the land he promised through your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, you're going to walk into large, bustling cities you didn't build, well-furnished houses you didn't buy, come upon wells you didn't dig, vineyards and olive orchards you didn't plant. When you take it all in and settle down pleased and content, make sure you don't forget how you got there. God brought you out of slavery in Egypt. Now, Moses is saying, listen, the inheritance that God has for you is the kind of inheritance that you don't deserve. It's the kind of thing that you're going to step into, and somebody else has already done all of the work, and they are just like they're handing you the keys, right? He describes what is called a turnkey situation. Everybody wants a turnkey situation. Everybody wants to buy a house, and it's furnished, and all the things are there. You go outside, the garden's just perfect, and the yard is manicured, and you don't have to worry about anything. They got all the stuff installed for you already. It's turnkey. They hand you the keys. Boom, there it is. It's already done for me. And what Moses is describing here, what our inheritance is an inheritance that the work has been done, that Jesus has already prepared the place for us. He's actually already laid out all the things, and our expectation is that we just get to step into it and go, wow, I don't deserve this. I couldn't do anything to earn this. There's nothing that I could ever have done to get into a place where I would be worth this, but because Jesus has decided that I'm worth it, he has given it to me. I want to tell you this morning that part of your inheritance that God wants you to walk into is better than anything you could ever earn. It's more than anything that you deserve. It's because simply his goodness towards you, he's decided, I want to give my kids so many good things, it's going to knock their socks off. And when you begin to walk into the fullness of God's territory, you go, man, why would I want anything else? I don't even understand why I was so obsessed with what the world offered. Now I begin to understand how beautiful it is, because every time I experience this territory, it's better. Every time I experience that other thing that the world offered, it made me feeling dirty and nasty, and I always felt bad. But now when I'm experiencing the goodness of God, it's something that's beautiful, and it's something that's wonderful. I want to tell you that God has a place for you to walk in. He's got a place for you to dwell in. And it's not only just a physical place, but it begins with your physical place. It begins with your home. It begins with your family. And it begins to extend outward. that he, in every foot, he says, every place you put your foot, I'm going to give you new territory. I just want to tell you this morning that God has more for you than you have experienced up to this point. There's more for you, and as you begin to step forward in faith, as you begin to step forward believing, you know what, God, I know that you have more for me in my marriage. I know you have more for me in my relationship with my kids. God, I know you have more for me at my workplace. Lord, I know you have more for me internally with my attitudes, dealing with my anger and dealing with my addictions. There's more, Lord. And so I'm going to begin to step out in faith. You're going to see that God has already prepared a place for you. Number three, the third idea. First is freedom. Second is place. The third idea for your inheritance is purpose. Would you say purpose? Good news is God not only has freedom for you, he not only has a place for you, but he has something for you to do. Isaiah chapter 58, the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. I want you to know that you're designed by God to be a builder. You're designed by God to be a restorer. You're the kind of person, because he has put his name on you, if you know Jesus Christ, then he's given you a charge that you actually have something to do on the earth today. You're not just biding time. You're not just waiting to die so that you can finally be in heaven, so you can finally experience the good things that he has. No, no, he has a purpose for you right here and right now. If you're taking notes, you might write this down. Let me just give you some ideas about purpose that you have. Let me tell you, first of all, you're a builder, as I said. You're a builder. You're a builder and a rebuilder of marriages and of lives and of relationships and of people. And as you begin to speak into people and as you begin to encourage them and bring life into their situations, you'll discover that it's an incredible purpose just to begin to serve those that are around us. Secondly, you're an intercessor. We've talked about that in this series, that part of our job as followers of Christ is to reach up and grab a hold of the promises of God and then to reach out to the people that don't yet experience them and to draw them together, the promises of God and the goodness of God, down into the situation with the people that are in our family and our lives, our neighbors and our friends that need him. Secondly, or thirdly, you're a path maker. You're a path maker. Your purpose is to connect people to God. In Scripture, it's described this way, that you are reconciling the world to God, that you're actually figuring out ways. You're looking into people's lives, and you're beginning to touch their points of pain, and you're beginning to address them, and you're beginning to draw them into relationship with God. You're building bridges and helping them see how much God loves them, and even though they've experienced some of the brokenness and the woundedness of life, that there is, in fact, a way back to the Lord. There's a way back into his house, and there, it's designed for every person. And you and I are called to be that kind of people that would reconnect those who are lost back to their Father in heaven who loves them desperately. You're a life giver. You're a life giver. You're blessed to be a blessing. I want you to, even this morning, just begin to expand your understanding of the things that God wants to do in your life. I want you to begin to unlock perhaps some of the limitations that you have had in the past about what you believe God can do in you and through you. And you might have been stuck in your thinking. You might be thinking, I don't deserve it. I'm not worth it. I've made too many mistakes. My family is not the kind of family that could ever receive the fullness of God. Andrew, you're describing somebody else. You're describing a Christian who really knows what's going on. I want you to say, no. This is what the Lord wants to do in my life. He wants to give me more. He wants to expand me. He wants to grow me. He wants to change me. He wants to set me free. He wants to do a miracle in my family. He wants to do a miracle in my marriage. He wants my life to be an expression of heaven on earth. He wants actually his spirit to fill me. He wants love to flow out of me. Would you begin even right now just to stretch your faith towards that? Say, you know what, God, you're not finished with me yet. You're not finished with my family. Forgive me, Lord, for even having a small mindset on what you want to do. Forgive me, God, for putting a restriction based on what I think I deserve, because Lord, obviously you've decided to give me more than what I deserve. Because as we begin to reach for it, amen, as we begin to reach for it, we begin to see that God is calling us to something fresh and to something new. Now, let me just give you the second part of it. Let me just do this quickly, because there's another part to our inheritance that I'd rather not talk about, because it's the part that requires work from us. But it is simply the idea that we have a responsibility in this. God says, you have a territory, now you have to go and take it. Now you have to step into it. Now you have to fight for it. Now you have to begin to engage. Because I want you to know that everything that God has for you, every piece of territory that has your name marked on it by God, is going to be opposed by the enemy. There's an oppositional force that is standing against you receiving everything that God has. And it's not just going to happen just like we would like it to be. Like, yeah, God, would you just do it? I'm waiting, Lord. Would you just dump it on me? Would you just give it to me? Would you just do all the work for me? And he says, no, this, you don't understand, this is a partnership. You don't understand that I've invited you into a relationship, and then there's a part that we have to play. That part is our responsibility. I want you to know this. You can squander your inheritance, or you can grow it. You can squander or waste the territory that God has for you, or you can experience expansion of that territory. It's based on what you're going to do with it. There is, in fact, some responsibility that we have to step into the things that God has for us, and we can waste it. How many times have you seen someone inherit money and lose it or waste it within just a few months or a few years? It is so easy to lose the thing that God has for you and never to experience the fullness of it. There's something that's required of us. What's required? Number one, obedience. Would you say obedience? Oh, the scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice, but I hate obedience. Obedience means I get to bend my will to the will of another. It means I have to submit my way to God's way. This is what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 12, be careful to obey all the regulations I am giving you so that it may always go well with you and your children after you. See, there's something that the Lord wants from us. He wants us to actually listen to him. Because when we begin to listen to him, when we begin to obey him, he is able to work with us and open the door of blessing that he has for us. But disobedient children don't receive blessing, they receive correction. Right? Just like your kids. I don't know about you, but when my kids were smart mouth, there was something that happened. Right? Because I'm a good father, I'm not a bad father. Because I actually know that if those kids don't understand that there are limits in life, that life will destroy them. That life will actually teach them a lesson if their father doesn't teach them the lesson. God is teaching us something, and he wants us to learn it. And disobedient children refuse to receive the lesson. James 1:25, whoever looks intently into the perfect law, this is talking about the word of God that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. James says, listen, when you look at the word of God, what it's going to do, when you begin to consider it, when you begin to think about it, when you begin to meditate on it, what that does is it begins to confront you. It confronts your sin. It confronts bad attitudes. It confronts false belief systems. It confronts idolatry that you have in your life. It confronts so many things, and it begins to speak to us very clearly how we need to change. And James says, look, when you look at the law, it's going to talk to you. And then what you have to do? You have to be obedient. You have to continue, he says, in it. What is continue? It means that you're obedient a little bit every day, and a little bit every day, and a little bit every day, and a little bit every day. And see, the problem with obedience a little bit every day is that nobody likes to do that. Right? Everybody prefers the microwave. Nobody likes the crock pot. Crock pot takes too long. You know, it's just like, man, I've got to wait all day long for that to happen. But see, God is a crock pot God. He's a process God. He's a God that's actually into developing you and changing your character and beginning to do some things inside of you and expanding who you are. That happens by a slow process of obedience. It's saying every day, yes to the Lord. Oh, God, yes to the Lord. Yes to the Lord. Is that yes to the Lord? See, and I don't like that because after two or three days, I'm figured, Lord, I've been obedient. Aren't you going to do the thing? Why hasn't it happened? God, I've been praying for, three, 4 days in a row. Why is it done? He says, would you just keep on continuing? Would you just keep on being obedient? Because when you keep on being obedient, you look back pretty soon and you realize, wow, there's really something that's happened in my life. God's actually begun to adjust some things. I didn't even see it happening because sometimes it happens so slowly. But little by little by little, you'll see that he transforms you and he expands you and he does in you things that you can't do on your own. So the first is obedience. The second one is forward movement. Forward movement. Forward movement is giving feet to your faith. Many times we are paralyzed. I just want to tell you very quickly in here in this room, some of you are paralyzed and you haven't been moving for a while. You're paralyzed by fear. You're paralyzed by a past wound. You're paralyzed because you're complacent and things are good enough and you don't want to mess with good enough. And so you're just content with what you got. And because of that, you're not receiving anything new because you're not actually moving forward. You're stuck where you're at. And God is saying, listen, it's time for you to actually take a step. It's time for you to stretch yourself. It's time for you to do something uncomfortable. It's time to forgive that person that you don't want to forgive. It's time for you to work on that relationship that you would rather never see that person again. It's time for you to actually step forward into some things of growth and expansion and service and giving and kindness that is beyond you because it's painful, but when you do it, it's like taking a step of faith because you're doing it because God says there's more territory for me that he wants to give and he wants to expand. So I'm going to say yes to him. Keep on moving forward. Number three, just for time, let me end here. The third thing is quick repentance. What's our responsibility? Obedience, forward movement, and quick repentance. Listen, you got to get your repenter fixed. You got to know how to get cleaned up. You got to know that the quickest way to gain territory is to get right with God. And so often what we do instead of getting right with God is we take ourselves out of the fight because we have decided we've messed up and we can't do it and he's unhappy with us and he won't forgive us. And for whatever reason that we tell ourselves, we just sort of lay there and cry. And God says, would you just get back up? I've already decided about you that I love you, that I'm going to do good things in your life, that I have territory for you. Would you stop acting like a little silly kid who won't receive forgiveness and receive my grace and receive my strength? Just get back into my goodness by correcting yourself, asking for forgiveness, doing the things that I have told you to do, and watch and see what I will do with that kind of person. Acts 3:19, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Would you just bow your head? Let me just minister to you for a few moments here. I do believe that there's territory for you to take. And even as I've been talking about that the Lord has been speaking to you, just kind of prompting you about maybe some arenas that you have given up on. Some areas that you sort of taken yourself out of the race, or some places where you're paralyzed maybe. And because you have been disappointed or because you tried and failed, you kind of stopped. And I'm believing today that the Lord is calling us into a place of responsiveness, into a place of actually saying, Lord, I hear you, and I do in fact want to step into what you have for me. I don't want to miss, God, the goodness that you have in store for me and set up for me. So the first group of people I want to pray for, just very simply, is that you're hearing the Lord say through the message today that there's more for you. And you're simply saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to step into it. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to ask you for forgiveness. I'm going to begin to take those steps forward. If that's you, just raise your hand. Just say, yes, Lord, I'm hearing that call of growth, of expansion. I'm hearing the call, Lord, that you're calling us out of the place where we're at right now. Lord, for every hand that's raised, it expresses a heart that's saying, Lord, we want to do what you've called us to do. Lord, so many times we've looked across the Jordan and we have been paralyzed in fear. Or Lord, we have taken ourselves out of the the war because we ourselves have decided it's too difficult. God, I'm praying for every hand that's raised for new courage, new hope, new life, new expectation. I'm praying for these people, Lord, these men and women, that in the name of Jesus, there would be an ability to step forward in faith, that they'd be quick, Lord Jesus, to obey, that those areas of our lives where we are out of alignment with you, Lord, that we would see them and that we would receive your grace and your forgiveness. We'd be obedient to you and we'd get back up into the race. Lord, would you expand these people? Would you give them, Lord, more than enough anointing? Would you give them, Lord Jesus, ability to go beyond what they have in the natural, because you're a God of the supernatural supply. Lord, I declare over them, they're the head and not the tail. They're the favored ones of God. They're the ones who are going to take the territory in the name of Jesus. I declare marriages are being restored because people are grabbing a hold of a new day and a new hope and a new obedience and a new willingness to push into the pain points. Lord, I declare that there's new restoration over fathers and sons and mothers and daughters and relationships that have been broken, brothers and sisters, Lord, that have been apart for years and they haven't even communicated. But Lord, you're actually calling us back into a new kind of hope for that territory to happen in the name of Jesus. Put those hands down. I want to pray for just one other group here, actually two other groups very quickly. One is if you're here this morning and we've been talking about having a relationship with the Lord. We've been talking about following Christ. We've been talking about having the Holy Spirit inside of us. But that's not you. You feel like you're standing on the outside of that, and you've heard the message perhaps about Jesus, but you don't have a relationship with him. And I just want to encourage you today, if that's you, then today is the day of invitation. Today is the day to do some business. Maybe you've been even saying inside of yourself, that sounds nice, but I don't know if I can experience that. I want to invite you today that today is a day for you of coming into a place of the fullness of life with Jesus so that he can begin to give you the territory that he has. Is anyone here that needs to pray that prayer of relationship with the Lord? Just raise your hand very high so I can see it. Yes. Anyone else? Yes. 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 Hands all over the auditorium. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and put those hands down. I'm going to pray for one other group. We're going to pray together for you in just a moment. If you're here and you need to come back to the Lord, you're a prodigal, you've run in the other direction, you've been out of God's house, you've been out of God's will. Now, I'm not just talking about like you messed up this week and you stumbled and you fell. I'm talking about you know that you've been away from the Lord and you're coming back to him. Anybody here, just raise your hand and say, I'm coming back to the Lord today. I know I've been disobedient. I know I've been out of line. Yeah, I see those hands. Very good. Let me just do this. I'm going to have you all stand forward. Stand up, stand forward, stand up. It's the second service. I'm tired. And we're going to do this. And if you know this if you're in the house, but I'm going to invite those of you that raise your hands to come forward right now because we're going to have the prayer team. The prayer team's going to come and we're going to pray for you. And the reason I'm going to invite you forward in these next few minutes is because this is an important moment. This is not just something we raise our hand. And I want you to make a mark right now in your heart and your mind that this is today when actually Moses is dead and there's something new that's coming. That the old has passed away and you're walking into a new place. And so if you raise your hand for either of those two groups, first time or coming back to the Lord, would you just begin to make your way down here and meet me right here? I'm going to pray for you right now. And everybody else, would you turn to your neighbor and ask them, do you need to go up? And if so, I will go with you. Go ahead and ask them and then come down with them if they need to come up. Yeah, guys, come on down. It's wonderful. And then come on down. I love it when people bring people down, that you begin to pray with them in just a moment. It's just such a beautiful thing. Yeah, why don't you give it up for all those that are down here? All right, prayer teams, come and sort of just make your way to surround these. Good to see you guys. Good to see you. Let's pray. Would you all just extend your hands right to this group right here, guys? Would you maybe just if you're up here, just put your hands out in front of you, just begin to seek the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your goodness today. I thank you for these men and women that are here today. They're coming to you. They're coming back to you. Lord, I thank you that this is a day of marking. It's a day of change. It's a day of transformation. It's a day of before and after. So Lord, as we come to you, we're coming to you seeking salvation, seeking restoration, seeking forgiveness. Lord, would you forgive? Would you restore? Would you make us new? Thank you, Lord. Your word says that when you come in, you make all things new. And so, Lord, for every man and woman that's standing up here, make them new, I pray. Let there be a transformation from the inside out. We pray for the deposit of your spirit right now, that the Holy Spirit would mark them and fill them by the power of Jesus. That today would be a day that as they walk out of this place, there would be a lifting of the spirits. There would be an expectation for the new things that you're doing, that each one would sense, Lord, an encounter with your presence. We pray as a church, Lord, that you would bless them and that you would seal them. We declare over them your goodness and your life. We declare that there's healing coming to bodies and to minds. There's restoration coming into families. In the name of Jesus, there's goodness. It's going to follow them all the days of their life. That these people, Lord, are set apart for your purposes. Meet them even right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen, 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 amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. You can join us in person on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. or online at the same times, including Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. Visit our website at kchanford.com. Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.